you've been holding back on launching your dream business, it's time to stop making excuses. Shopify is where you finally go to get started. They offer everything you need to succeed from day one. They completely simplify the process so you can focus on what matters. Think about how you want your brand to look. Imagine the confidence of launching with a world-class checkout system already built into it, allowing your customers to buy effortlessly in just one click. Whenever you run into a roadblock or find yourself asking those tough startup questions, Shopify's AI assistant called Sidekick is right there to help you build and troubleshoot. You get to build your dream on the same reliable platform that powers household names like Mattel, saving you time to scale. All you need is the idea. Shopify handles the rest. Go to shopify.com/tenderfoot to start your free trial today. That's shopify.com/tenderfoot. shopify.com/tenderfoot.
December 1999, I was in first grade. My older sister Crystal and I were staying with friends in Del Rio, Texas, waiting for my family in Kansas to move there with us.
I was 7 and my older sister Crystal was 10, and we were just moving down to Del Rio, Texas to start a new life with our family. I remember my sister being kind of bossy, and the age difference was big, and we just didn't get along very well. We stayed at the Harris family's house, and they had a big family. The oldest son, Sean, then Justin, Lori, and Katie. And they lived kind of out in the desert, like there wasn't a lot of people close to them. It was off in the middle of nowhere. I was sleeping directly across the hallway from the room Crystal and Katie were sleeping in. I was gonna sleep on the floor next to the bed, but they didn't want me in there and I was made to leave. When I couldn't sleep in the room, I was so mad. And I remember I just laid in bed for like 2 hours just fuming. I was just so mad. I wanted to be in that room. I woke up to the sun coming through the window, and I sat up and I saw a lady standing in my room that I didn't know. And she just handed me a pair of shorts and a purple tank top and said, "Put this on, we gotta go." Directly, maybe 5 steps away from my door, was just a stream of blood. It looked like somebody was stumbling, was holding on to things, there was blood on the wall, and just, it was everywhere. And then there was more outside. I just remember seeing it all the way down the front steps and just off into the street. I knew somebody was hurt. I saw the blood. I could see everybody crying. Everybody was frantic. I just wanted to know what was going on.
On December 31st, 1999, I had a phone call at close to 6 o'clock in the morning, as I was preparing to move from Kansas to Texas. It was a Valverde emergency room asking me for my permission to lifelight Crystal. She had been attacked. And I said, absolutely, lifelight her, where? And they said, San Antonio. I didn't know anything other than Crystal had had her throat cut. If I looked her in her eyes, I would know if she was going to make it.
I first received the phone call regarding this attack and homicide at 5:30 a.m. on December 31st. When I walked into the crime scene, which was identified as the Harris residence, there was a bedroom, which I learned two small girls were sleeping in. On the floor was a deceased young girl. The crime scene was extremely bloody. The murder victim was identified as 13-year-old Kayleen Harris, who normally went by Katie. Katie Harris was a very popular 13-year-old, beautiful young girl who had everything in the world going for her. A young girl who fought very bravely for her life. And we knew a 10-year-old girl had survived Crystal Searles. At that point in time, we didn't know to the extent of her injuries. And that was our only hope as far as any surviving witness.
When I got in her room, I saw this little girl with all of these tubes, and one of the machines was breathing for her. She looked like this baby in this humongous bed. And I looked her in her eyes and I said, "Are you okay, Angel? Mommy's here." I knew that a guy had slit her windpipe completely and nicked her vocal cords. And then she kept asking me, "Is Katie okay? Is Katie okay?" And I couldn't tell her. I couldn't tell her anything.
It hurt, no, but I think just that Katie, she helped me through everything. Her soul came up and, like, stayed with me.
As soon as I woke up from surgery, I was ready to talk. And my mom was like, "You know, Crystal, we have to wait till the police get there, the detectives and things like that."
When we initially walked into the room, we told Crystal who we were. And at that point in time, I assured Crystal that we are going to arrest the person or persons who did this to her. And at that point in time, I was hoping I could back that up.
I felt like it was her story, and when she was ready and comfortable, she would tell me what she wanted to tell me about it.
We went to bed kind of late, but I remember I woke up to like a scream. I was on the top bunk of the bed, and I just popped my head up a little bit, and I was looking around. I never sat up fully or anything, but the light was on, so I could see. I could see at the end of the bed this scary guy. He had scruffy hair, long, dark, curly hair, and a big, scary, long, bushy beard that, you know, just took over his whole face, and then his eyes were just dark and mean. But then I saw that Katie had blood on her and that he had a knife in his hand. He had a knife across her throat and his hand on her mouth, and he just cut her throat. She fell to the ground. He still didn't notice I was in the room, and he was getting ready to leave. He opened the door. Almost had the light off, looked one last time, and he saw me looking at him. I was trying to scoot to the right side of the bed because he was on the left. He just reached over and cut my throat like this. And then I just remember laying there and the light turning off, and I heard the door shut. I was laying there thinking, has he been to the other rooms? Does he know that the whole family's here? You know, is everybody hurt? Are they all dead? And so I got on my hands and knees, and I was crawling across the floor in the bedroom, and I came across Katie on the floor. She was kind of making, a gasping noise, or maybe she was choking. But then I was trying to comfort her. I laid next to her, rubbing her back, and that's when I realized I couldn't talk, because all I wanted to say was, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be okay, but I couldn't. And then, I mean, as soon as she stopped making those noises, I had this feeling, you know, get out of here, get up, come on, go, don't lay here, go. It was dark outside. I was in my pajamas, no shoes, nothing. And I just decided, I saw a light in the distance. I was like, that's my goal. That's where I need to be. I just got on the road and walked really slow to that light. Really, all I could think about was, just get to this house, just get to this house, just get to this house. And I just banged on their door, and I hear a gentleman, he's like, who's there? Who's there? You know, I can't talk. So I'm just banging as hard as I can on the door. And then he opens the door.
I have a little girl just rang my doorbell. She's covered in blood. Thank you.
I'm lucky to not be in that room. And I'm lucky to have an amazing sister that could handle being in that room. I wouldn't have made it like Crystal did.
We had a forensic artist that was stationed in Midland, Texas at the time. She was contacted and brought to University Hospital.
I couldn't get the picture out of my head. And it amazes me how good that they sketched it compared to how we really looked at the time, because it was so perfect.
We entered Crystal's room, woke her up, and I explained to Crystal, I told Crystal, we have a photo lineup. And if you see the man that was in that residence that did this to y'all, please put your finger on him. You could see her eyes moving from one individual photograph to the next. And then you could see that she came back and focused in on one photograph. And I was standing beside her when she did this, and Crystal took her right index finger and put it on the photograph of Tommy Lynn Sells. Tommy Lynn Sells at that point in time became our number one suspect.
You wake in the middle of the night alone in your apartment, and that feeling starts to set in that something is wrong. Realizing your home is no longer safe, you plan your escape, but he has other plans. The details are the kind that stay with you. Water running in an empty apartment. A locked door that shouldn't be locked. That uneasy feeling of being watched. That's the setup for Unhinged, the new immersive game experience on Netflix. Your phone becomes your controller, flashlight, and lifeline to your best friend. As the attacker in your building closes in, the phone in your hand will ring. The question is, will you answer? Play now, only on Netflix.
Let's be honest, traditional banks have a habit of hitting you with overdraft and monthly fees, and those costs can really add up when you're just trying to manage your own money. But Chime is changing the way people bank. They offer the most rewarding, fee-free banking built for you, not the 1%. Chime has thousands of fee-free ATMs because you shouldn't pay to access your own money. And Chime members can benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards, completely fee-free. You'll get 5% cash back on your Chime card in a category of choice like gas or groceries, and savings that grow faster than a 3.75 APY. My younger self could have seriously benefited from all that. Plus, Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service. I'm talking real humans, 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Once we received a positive identification from Crystal, we turned around and headed back toward Del Rio, which is a 2.5-hour drive from San Antonio. The Val Verde County Sheriff's Office had handled Tommy Lynn Sells before on some accusations that were made there in Del Rio against him. When we got to Tommy Lynn's residence, it was approximately 5:30 in the morning. We knocked on the door. It was opened. We went right on in and were met near the front doorway by Tommy Lynn Sells. His comment was, "I'm glad I finally got caught. I was tired of doing this." And then we told him he was under arrest for murder. The murder weapon was an 11-inch butcher knife. It had been sharpened throughout the years so many times that it was such a thin blade, and it was recovered beyond his residence where he told us he had discarded the knife.
I remember the phone ringing in the room and me answering it and them telling me that they had caught Tommy Lynn Sells. And I remember turning to Crystal and telling her, and she was like, "Yeah." But at that point, it wasn't about him, it was about Crystal. We would take walks in the morning and afternoon, and Crystal was walking along with her IV and stopped to get a drink of water. And the water fountain, of course, they're kind of shiny. And that's the first time that she saw her neck was in the water fountain. And so then she, you know, like, I knew she wanted to get to a mirror. She cried for a little bit, but she knew that it would get better. I think it brought back some of what she was going through.
She was like, "Crystal, it happened. There's nothing we can do now. But look, you're here, you know, and he's caught. And think, if this would have never happened, he would still be out there. Who would he be hurting right now? I'm just lucky. People, you know, say I'm brave and everything. No, I'm just lucky."
Once Tommy Lynn Sells was taken to the Val Verde County Sheriff's Office, he was very willing to cooperate with us. Confessions were obtained from him, as well as his agreement to do a walkthrough of the crime scene.
"Are you doing this walkthrough of your own free will?"
"Oh, yes."
"Okay."
I thought this to be very odd. Here this guy is under arrest for murder and attempted murder, and he's willing to cooperate with us to basically nail the nail in his coffin.
I walked over here.
Lo and behold, the window was left open that night, which allowed access a lot easier.
"And then I came over here, and there's a little girl sleeping here. And I stood here for a minute, and then I looked in here, and there's two girls sleeping in here."
He explained where the girls were lying. He explained he walked over to the bottom bunk where Katie was lying.
I cut her bra, and I cut the side of her, whatever she was wearing. I stabbed her here, and then she like jumped back, and I walked over here, and I went like this.
We felt like the motive in this murder and attack on Crystal was sexual assault. We did find out that Sells was associated and friends with the Harris family. And we feel like he specifically targeted Katie. It's frightening that Sells had also made a comment that he actually thought about killing the six people that were in the trailer.
One of the things that the Rangers offered for me to kind of get a better idea of what Crystal had gone through to hopefully help her more in the recovery is to get to go through the crime scene and see with my own eyes what actually had happened. When I saw the crime scene, I literally felt like my legs were gonna fall out from underneath me.
The blood. There was so much blood everywhere. And it was all crystals except for that one area where Kate was, where she laid and died. The little handprints of my daughters. I just can't even describe the helpless feeling that I felt. But I needed to go through that so I knew her every step, so that I could better be there for her in the long run.
Following Tommy's arrest and on the way to jail, he was pretty quiet. And what kind of took us back more than anything was his comment, "I guess you want to know about the other murders."
I asked the Rangers if I could sit in on an interrogation, not knowing what their answer would be. But I'm a smart enough journalist to know that in all the years I've worked in the news business, I've never sat in on an interrogation. And I guess it's a reporter's instinct to ask for things that they normally can't have.
In all my years of investigations, I've never allowed journalists in the same room with suspects. But we knew at that this point in time that we could use assistance from getting his story out nationwide in hopes of finding other victims who possibly could have survived.
I sat in that interrogation room for hours, listening to Tommy Lynn Sells go from state to state to state, talking about the people he killed, the men he killed, the women he killed, the children he killed.
This is two females, and it happened in 91, close to Cabin Creek.
That's when I realized we were dealing with a serial killer, a cold-blooded serial killer.
My daddy told me a long time ago, dead man tells no tale. I remember that to this day.
We spent the next 9 months with Sells on additional homicides that he claimed to have committed. In the months and months that we spent with Sells, we have confirmed that he has committed 22 total murders.
You know, you cover a story like this, I have to tell you, if you have children, you place your children in their situation. They were helpless, they were sleeping, they were totally vulnerable, and you've got this deranged killer climbing through the window with a knife. That knife was the ugliest looking knife I've ever seen in my life. I don't think it gets any scarier than that. People were happy to know that this man was no longer going to be in society. This man was no longer going to be able to kill men, women, and children again.
Going back to Kansas was a relief, but at the same time I knew that I had to eventually go back to Texas and testify in front of him. But, you know, I was ready. I felt ready to do it. I wanted to.
The trial took place 9 months after the murder, and the headline here was that 11-year-old Crystal Searles was going to be the key witness, the star witness for the prosecution. We knew that it was going to be explosive. We knew that it was going to be emotional, particularly for Crystal Searles, because she had never seen Tommy Lynn Sells since the night that he came to that house and slashed her throat. And she didn't know how she was going to react.
Several days prior to the trial, Crystal was introduced to my two young daughters simply because I thought it might be a way for Crystal to put her mind at ease and take her away from what she was going to have to go through. And she stayed with us at our residence. What made things even harder is that she would wake up during the middle of the night and sit up in bed screaming and knowing that she was having nightmares about it.
Then I walked over here and I cut this one.
Tommy's defense attorney, he knew that he had a killer. He was representing a killer. And his only strategy was to try to keep Tommy Lynn Sells off of death row.
I felt fine to know that I had to eventually see him because I felt like he couldn't conquer me. You know, he had his chance and he obviously, you know, didn't do what he wanted. And now look at him. He was going to be in that trial room because of me. And I liked feeling that power. I just had such a mindset that this is what I wanted to do, and this is what I had to do. I put my thoughts towards Katie, like, this is for Katie. She deserves this. The day I had to testify, I woke up, I can do this. I said, Mom, don't cry. Please don't cry. If I see you in the crowd bawling, you're gonna distract me. You know, you're gonna make me upset. Please don't. And then when they called me down, I was like, I'm ready. They, you know, said, do you wanna walk by him? You could either walk by him or just walk through this door and get on the stand. And I said, I wanna walk by him. I'm not scared of him.
To see her walk into that courtroom with her chest out as she took the witness stand, she was there for business. And she did it.
Because his hand was over her mouth.
Whose hand was over her mouth?
His hand.
But when I got up there and then had to talk, that's when my nerves came. I had to point him out and look at him and say, that guy.
The man with the blue jacket and the glasses?
Yes.
That's whenever I realized that guy is right there.
Now, Crystal, if you need for me to stop, at some point in time, I'll stop.
I tried not to focus any attention on him, though, after I just had to point him out. He was making me nervous. He was shaking his leg and wouldn't even look up at me or anything.
What was the defendant doing, and what was Katie doing?
It was just really overwhelming at that point. My emotions took over, and I couldn't answer any more questions.
When I seen Crystal break down on that stand, I wanted to run up there so bad and hug her and tell her it's gonna be okay. But I'd made that promise to her the night before that I would not break down. And it was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my entire life.
So they had to do a recess for 15 minutes and pull me aside. They just pulled me to the back room. My mom ran back there. Attorney and everybody was just back there saying, Crystal, you're almost done. You can do it. I wiped my tears and I went right back out there and I was on it. I did it. I had to walk in front of the jury and point out my scar, and I had to, you know, lay on this table that and showed how I popped my head up.
Is this how you were lying down?
Out of this whole experience with Sales, that was probably the most difficult to sit there and have to listen to, because you realize just exactly what she had to go through, what she had to do to try and survive.
Can you tell us why you had your hands up close to your neck?
Because I saw what he did to Katie and I was scared he was going to do it to me.
I think Garcia, the defense attorney, was taken with Crystal Searles after Crystal testified. He was smart enough not to try to cross-examine her in a vigorous fashion.
You're a brave young woman. Thank you. No more questions.
For him to just say, I don't have any questions for you, I was like, really? You know? Okay, really? You know, you don't want to ask anything? Even his attorney just made me feel good about the whole situation. Like, even though he had to be there to defend him, that he was still on my side. As soon as I stepped off the stand, I felt so good and relieved, very relieved. Just pressure off my shoulders. I got through this. I'm fine, you know? And we're going to find out what's going to happen to him soon.
The jurors went out to deliberate. It was kind of an eerie feeling for a lot of people who were close to this trial because no one thought it would be long, but no one thought it would be as short as it was either when they came back with the verdict. It was 1 hour and 10 minutes. They came back, the jury walked into that courtroom and announced to the court that they had found Tommy Lynn Sells guilty. There was silence in the courtroom, and then there was relief. When the verdict came in, the only question was whether Tommy Lynn Sells would receive life in prison or whether Tommy Lynn Sells would be put to death. We didn't know it at the time, and even up to and even after the trial, we didn't know that Crystal was keeping a lot inside. She had a secret, and we wouldn't find out until much later what it was.
There's not a doubt in my mind that Crystal has lost a lot, if not most of her childhood. She really has been a survivor her whole entire life with more than just Tommy Lynn Sells.
I don't think that this tragedy would have turned out the way it did unless she was brought up the way she was. Because it made her think, it made her strong. And when the tragedy happened, she knew what to do.
This time of year, I want more energy, not more steps in my wellness routines. Grüns can make keeping on top of wellness habits easy because it's literally just one daily pack of gummies, no bottles to track and no powders to mix. Grüns are a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. This isn't a standard multivitamin, a simple greens gummy, or a basic prebiotic. It's all of those things combined and then some at a fraction of the price of individual supplements. And bonus, it tastes great. Grüns provides a full daily pack of gummies because you simply can't fit the immense amount of whole food nutrients Grüns does into just one single gummy. Plus, it makes taking daily nutrition a fun, rewarding treat rather than a chore. And each pack includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount of dietary fiber compared to the leading greens powders. Grüns ingredients are also backed by over 35,000 research publications. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
Before it all really happened, Pam and I, we started using drugs. Before we knew it, we were on a huge roller coaster ride. The drugs just kind of took over. We were getting in little bits of trouble here and there with the law. We were really fighting really bad.
I wanted a family. I wanted a normal life. I didn't want the drugs and everything that comes with that lifestyle. So I filed for divorce.
She just up and moved away. She got cleaned up. In the meantime, I had the girls. Some tough times there. Crystal was amazing. From age 6, 7, she was the mom. She took care of everybody.
My dad would sleep for days at times, and I had to take care of my little sisters. Me being in second grade, they're younger than me. They were babies. Changing my sister's diapers or feeding them, getting them to bed, and getting myself up for school in the morning. I was kind of... I say it as a joke, but it's true. I was the stinky kid in class. I mean, I was late to school every day. I didn't really ever have time to take a shower. I never wore matching clothes. I walked to school. You never saw my parents or my sisters or anything. I was just the random girl at school.
Way before the attack, I just remember Crystal taking care of me. She was there always. She was the backbone in our family for a really long time. She was the strong one, and she was little.
Crystal took on the mother, the father, the everything role. She did everything for our family. She always did everything. She cleaned the house and cooked for us, and she always cared about us more than she cared about herself.
When she got clean, my mom decided to take us girls with her, and she came and picked us up from my dad. And at that point, my dad was still choosing to do the things that he was doing before.
I couldn't quit using. I couldn't quit dealing.
I became mad at my dad. Like, you're choosing this over us. This doesn't make any sense, you know? Do you not love us?
I remember for a couple weeks just listening to the other kids outside that they played with. They were coming over asking for them. I had to tell them they were gone.
We were gone for quite some time, and then in that time frame, he got caught for what he was doing.
When my dad went to prison, she was mad at him for a really long time, and she stopped taking his calls. And she was just angry because she felt, why can't you be here, Dad? Why can't you help me? And he couldn't, and it made her mad.
Whenever, the attack happened, and I knew that my dad couldn't come, it devastated me. I wanted him to be there, just like my mom was, but I knew that he couldn't be. Eventually, as years went on, people were curious, like, oh yeah, where was your dad? Stepping back out of the situation, then it's kind of like, well, he wasn't there.
I was in Ada County Jail. I'd been there about 3 months. I got a visit at 10 a.m., which it's not visiting time. I remember walking down the hall, and at the end of the hall, I could see my mom and my sister. I sat down, and my mom proceeds to tell me that Crystal had been attacked. I just can't express the emotions. They just started pouring out. It's probably a good thing I was locked up, though. So I'd have killed that son of a bitch.
Tommy Lynn Sales was convicted of capital murder. And then the state went into phase two of this capital murder trial.
Well, we're shooting for the death penalty, That's what we want for him to get. And then we're like, is that really what we want? We're not the type of people to ever wish death upon anybody.
The judge gave the case to the jury. The jury went out and deliberated. And within a few hours, they came back in. And they decided to give Tommy Lynn Sells the death penalty.
He has done his fair share where he deserves it, but it took me a long time to realize that. I've never been the type of person to feel good about something so bad, It was weird. It was very awkward.
Certainly the jury wasn't aware of the gruesome details and all the other homicides that Sales has committed. And it's almost as if you feel like when he received that death penalty, he's getting that death penalty for all the other homicides he's committed. I thought he received exactly what he deserved. I mean, Sales is an animal inside a human body.
It was time for us to get back to everything as normal as possible. We had lost that, but that's what we were fighting to get back.
There are people you are told to trust, lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
I believed in Crystal from the beginning. I knew she went through her phases. I knew she was sad, but I knew her, and I knew she would come through it. There was no doubt in my mind. There was no doubt in my parents' minds. Crystal was going to come through this because that's who Crystal was.
My mom and my two younger sisters and me all slept in the same bed, probably for like 2 years, and I slept not very good. They would be sleeping and it would be like 5 a.m. and I'm still awake just with my eyes open. I'm not necessarily scared, but I'm thinking, if somebody comes in this window, I'm gonna go out this window. If somebody comes in this door, I'm gonna go out this way. I just had like a game plan. And another weird thing was that whenever my family was sleeping, I would feel them, just make sure that they were alive, just breathing.
When the incident happened with Crystal, it was like a slap in the face. That was the door that opened up that just said, it just woke me up, said, do you love your kids or not?
He was in jail for 3 years. I honestly started forgiving him whenever he got out. He was on the right path, and I was very proud of him. He came, you know, to my graduation.
Crystal.
Our relationship today is kind of a struggle. She's 20 now. I feel like she's still a kid. And since I was locked up for a while, you know, I haven't been there as to be a dad. So now I think I'm overdoing it. I need to back off a little bit. But we're doing better. Every day we do better.
He's making up for it. He is. Slowly but surely, everything's coming together. And I'm just lucky that I have this second opportunity, or we both do, to become father and daughter again.
She's proud of herself, but she just finds it hard to be happy about what she's done when Katie's dead. I mean, no matter if she puts this man away, no matter if he's put to death, no matter what anything, Katie's still dead. And Crystal has done everything she can, but she can't change that.
Of course I think about Katie. I think about, you know, if she was here, Would we still be friends? What would she be doing? Maybe what would we be doing? But in the same sense, I try not to think about it too much. It would make things too hard.
I think about this case basically 10 years after the fact, simply because I drive by this crime scene almost daily. I have to pass by it going to my ranch. There's not one time probably that I don't look over there and look at that window that sales climb through.
It's such a beautiful thing to see her with her sisters. Even today, she still is like a mother to them.
I take it back.
After the attack, we became way closer. It makes you realize what you have and how fast you can lose it. And I will never, ever say bye to my sister Mad. I will never say goodnight to her Mad. And I'll never, ever be mad at her again.
I don't ever think about Tommy Lynn Sells. I don't ever, ever give him the time of day. He's dead to me. It makes me really thankful. That's what he did. He didn't ever bring me down at all. And these are happy tears. I'm just glad to be here.
Once you cover a story like this, it becomes a part of you. The people become a part of you.
Virtually everybody says you're a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't think I'm a hero exactly. I think I'm just really, really lucky.
I've never met a youngster that brave before in my life.
I know a lot of adults who wouldn't be able to deal with that. I'm doing great. It's so good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
I could consider him part of my family. Part of that tight-knit group, I guess you could say.
So, what about, you got a boyfriend? Yeah?
They said to me that I helped them through this. No, they helped me get through it because they were so strong together.
In 2014, Tommy Lynn Sells was executed by lethal injection